How are you doing tonight?
I can smell something burning. Oh, sorry, is that your brain skip?
You're being nice.
I am being
no,
nice.
No, you're not.
I could say other things about
you. You just never mind now. Like I said, be nice. Or I'll get you.
That was fun.
You don't want me to get you.
I've got retractable claws. And besides, anything that you do to Mark's body doesn't affect me.
I know
that.
Well, Grandpa can say some pretty funny stuff when he gets mad.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but worms will never hurt me. So, okay, where do I start?
I don't know. Where do you want to start tonight?
Where do you think I should start, Russ?
Well, I think we should start with our weird stock market living.
Yes, yes, yes. Weird stock market. Why is it doing what it's doing? Well, it's fluctuating up and down, up and down. Now, first of all, point of interest. There has never been a crash in the summer or the spring. It always happens in the fall or early winter. To look at why your stock market is doing what it's doing is to look at external influences. For example, let us look in Asia. Well, the Japanese market is doing some very interesting things. The actual one that's doing some very weird dropping is the Hang Seng in Hong Kong. I seem to remember at the start of the year, it was at around 10,000. At the moment, it is in the mid-7,000s. That is approximately a quarter of its value. 25% history gone. Poof. Of course, it was also highly overvalued as well. The Japanese market is also doing some wild fluctuations. They're trying to enact certain fiscal problems and enact certain fiscal policies to counter fiscal problems, which can be traced right back to the mid to late 80s when they went through their phase of buying everything. Everything and anything. Now, looking at those two markets, you can see a certain effect occurring because as you track across the globe from where the Asian flu, let's call it the Asian flu, as that seems to be a good catchphrase and one that I heard the other day. The Asian flu starts in Asia. It is now affecting the European markets and from time to time, your market. Now, if a market can lose 25% of its value in less than 7 months, what does that hold for your market that is already lost? Well, actually, it gained back some of its loss. It had lost 10% of its value. It's now 9%. It's only 15% to go, well, 16% to go until it has lost a quarter of its value or a quarter of what it has made, which would be about $2,500 points. It's already lost at one point 800 points on its value. So what is going on? Well, there is numerous factors contributing to this problem. Not least is wild spending. Investing in other countries where the currencies are shaky. Now, the ruble in Russia has been devalued. Symptom of the Asian flu. The fact that investors rushed into the former Soviet Union after there was problems in Asia and pulled out, and they helped to depress the markets in Asia. In turn, they're now depressing the markets in Eastern Europe. It's only a matter of time before they start to pull out of markets in Europe. Once this happens, there is only one market left, or one major, major market left that the investors have left to go. My opinion is that the market will climb again. It won't get up to the 9,300 mark where it held its record, but it will climb again until late in the autumn or the fall. Then is the time to watch. People are already talking about that the bull market is turning to a bear market. These rumors are spreading. Now, if there is signs of inflation, the Federal Reserve will increase the interest rate, which will help to depress the market further. Okay, that's the market. That's what's happening from Wall Street to Hades base. Okay, let's move along. Yes. Bill Clinton. Okay, let's go over some interesting points. First of all, a convicted felon cannot serve as President of the United States. Is that correct? Secondly, if President Clinton, and he cannot serve as president either. Now, with the omission of the affair, the improper affair with Monica Lewinsky, he is admitting he committed perjury. Perjury is a felony when you lie to a governmental official, regardless of who you are. That's a felony. Which means that President Clinton is an admitted felon. If he is tried whilst in office as an admitted felon, they don't need to do impeachment processes. It's a possibility. Nobody has decided whether or not they're going to impeach him.
I keep hearing rumors.
That's all they are. Rumors and speculation.
There was a couple of predictions by different psychics, more or less, that August 24th will be capitalist.
Maybe not. If they get 51% of both houses to say that he should be impeached, then he will be impeached. 50%, it's got to be a majority, even a 1% majority. Correct. I believe in your, that's not constitution, it was, I can't remember who it was, it's one of the founding fathers said that the inalienable right of the majority in all cases must be accepted. However, the majority must also allow the individual to practice whatever. The inalienable right of the individual must not be suppressed by whatever. But it is not my planet.
Okay.
But with the omission that he has committed a felony, I have reason to believe that he is going for the lesser of the other possible things that he's done. That he is been involved with the other shady deals.
Okay, in other words, you're taking lesser two evil roads.
More evil roads, actually. So, with his action and his speech last night to the people of the United States, which was part truth, part distortion of truth, which is almost flame, and outright bold-faced attack on somebody that is doing their job. I think it was a very, very poor speech. Very poorly written. Very poorly done. Very poorly timed. Okay, we got questions before I get on the tirade.
Yeah, as far as the market's concerned, if I put in $1,000 in the market drops by a point. I lose my $1,000. What's $1,000
go? Disappears.
Somebody's got $1,000,
right? No. It's like, if you buy a car, let's say you buy a car that's worth $1,000, right? And depreciation of that car is $1 a day, right? In 1,000 days, that means that that car is worth nothing. Where did your $1,000 go?
Well, it went to whoever wants to buy it for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find anybody who wants to buy it for $1,000. I can't buy it.
That's correct. You can't turn around and sell it.
But I still hold on to that car. The car's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But if my stock drops off the map...
You still have the piece of paper.
So the stock comes back up again?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's worth something.
Correct. Unless, of course, the company that owns the stock ceases to be. Next question. Anyone?
Concept of stocks. You're invested into a company, and what you get in return for your investment is a piece of paper that says you invested so much money. Yeah, the company doesn't get my money. Do what? The company get my money? No. Well, yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Yeah, you're correct.
They do get
your money. But what happens if... Now, let me see if I can give you for an example. Say I'm in business and I set up a stock exchange invested into my business. I get 100 people to invest $1,000. That's $100,000. My business goes to the point of where it's costing me more to operate it than I'm making profit out of it. My business goes belly up. I go bankrupt. People lose all their money. They've got the piece of paper, but they still lose all their money.
Yeah. So the money just goes somewhere, goes to the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But if the business does not profit, then you do not see any return on your money.
You've got to remember that running costs and everything have to be taken out. Okay?
Okay.
Questions? Can somebody find out what that feline is into? Do you have questions?
I don't think so, darling.
Why not?
Well, I've got questions that you can't answer.
Oh, you've got them for Miss Steel Helmet. Full metal jacket. Something like that.
But you can't answer.
Okay. I'm always in trouble. Okay, Russ?
Huh?
Question?
Huh.
Okay. Come on.
Greetings and felicitations. It is, looks like we are minus Russ.
Right there.
He will be right here. Greetings, Skip. Greetings, young man. And greetings, the absent Russ.
Ta-da.
That is supposed to be a little louder. Shall we redo that?
Hello!
Thank you.
Greetings,
okay, let us go over a few of Tia's points. Tia, as always, is being very clever in her wording. If you listen carefully to what she says a lot. But, and wisely and rightly so at this time, she also says, if you listen to what she says, very little. The Bill Clinton part of her communique is all her opinion. Although there are facts concerning the legal ramifications of the admission of guilt. The admission of guilt being that he lied. It is not that he had an improper relationship. It was not even called an affair or a sexual interaction. It was an improper relationship, which is not an admission of having a sexual relationship. So in actual fact, he did not admit to anything. He just admitted that he had an improper relationship. But what is the definition of an improper relationship?
Cheating. Not being faithful.
No.
Oh, no.
Anything can be an improper relationship. In the case of the president of your country, being friendly with a drug dealer could be an improper relationship. Being friendly with a known special agent of a foreign government could be an improper relationship. Being too friendly with a foreign national could be an improper relationship. So it is not an admission of having a relationship of a sexual nature with the young lady. It is just an admission that it was not appropriate for him to be friendly with Monica Lewinsky. Now, what about those people around him? Let us look at his wife, Hillary. Is she upset? Yes, very much so. Why is she upset? Because he had an improper relationship with Miss Lewinsky? No, because he was caught lying. A situation occurred that they thought and hoped would never happen. So what is going on there? What is the problem? Well, the problem is not that he had a sexual relationship, but the fact that he committed a felony by lying, by omitting not to tell the truth. A very dangerous situation. But something that Tia omitted and is worth looking at is for the last 7 months, your country has been watching this soap opera, this entertainment. But what's been happening to the economy? Well, the economy is doing very well. Why? Because your government has not been able to enact policies because it has been hamstrung by the investigation. So what does this tell us? This tells us that with a government not interfering, the economy goes really well. Whenever Greenspan, who is a member of the government, makes a comment one way or the other, the stock market goes wild. It either climbs rapidly, as it did today, or it plummets. What does this say? This says that when the government makes an announcement that is relating to the economy, to the stock market, to the state of the nation, it does affect the stock market, regardless of what people believe. Policies that are enacted affect the economy or such. However, unlike comments that are made and threats of increasing the lending rate, it takes longer. And I believe Tia said up to 4 years. Research has shown us that it is anywhere from 4 years to 7 years, depending on what policies are enacted and how they are constructed. I also understand from one of our analysts that the deficit in trade is at the largest it has ever been. Not the largest, I stand corrected. It is near the largest deficit in your country's history. For a government that said when it was elected that it would reduce the deficit, this strikes as a very strange behavioural pattern. Another comment that was made, and does anyone recall this, that the new administration at the time in 1992 said it would have the most ethical administration in history. Well, we now have the most investigated administration in history. I think something went awry there. These things tie in with Tia's predictions. Tia's predictions were made approximately 3.5 to 4 years ago. The majority of them are starting to bear fruition. They are coming to the forefront. Now, what does the future hold? Well, things are definitely coming to an end of the cycle. Within the next 2 years, things are going to happen, good or bad. They will happen. I'm not going to speculate at this time what they are, as I will be breaking my own rules about releasing information before they have been approved and analysed. All I can say is that some of it looks very good and some of it looks very bad. Okay, do we have questions?
Yeah, most of I was reading today on the Pyramid of Giza, how Earth's future is actually written within the architecture of the pyramids. Mm-hmm. How does that fit in with what he has predicted and what we're looking at in the future?
I hate to disappoint you, but the written in predictions are predicted by people. They're not built in to the pyramids. They are by people that have looked at the pyramids and said, these are not natural. They were not made by people from your planet. They were made by space aliens. Which...
I have a question.
One second. Which is accurate and inaccurate. It is like saying that... The Empire State Building was built by Native Americans. That is inaccurate. It was built by Americans that had moved from another country. Or a better way to put it is that the World Trade Center was made by Europeans. That is accurate and inaccurate. The descendants of settlers from Europe made the World Trade Center. Not the Europeans. So by saying that space aliens made the pyramids and thus encoded the future in it is inaccurate. It was made by people that were born on your planet from plans from other sources. Shame.
Okay, you know how you said space aliens?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, aliens live out in space and stuff. Wouldn't we be the aliens to them?
Yes. Next question.
I have a question, young man.
Thank you.
The pyramids in Egypt, I'm talking about the most advertised ones, were coated on the outside was stone with hieroglyphics on it. Since the passing of time, they have eroded all of that, 99% of the hieroglyphics from the outside of the pyramids. Is there any way that there can ever, ever be recapped or
recovered?
Recovered?
Certainly, the same way that they were covered initially. However, to be able to put the exact copy of what was on the pyramids is not impossible, but it's extremely hard.
Probably improbable.
Yes, improbable due to the fact that you do not know where to look to find the hieroglyphics that were painted on that. Mm-hmm. They do exist. They are in public view. Mm-hmm. More, I cannot say. Whilst we're on the subject of pyramids, there is a famous statement written inside Chephren or Khephren's pyramid that is, in actual fact, a modern forgery and not even accurate. Now, the pharaoh was the sun god Ra when he died. Written inside Khephren's pyramid, it says, quote, unquote, Khephren higher than Ra. Confusion. Very understandable. How can Khephren be higher than Ra when in actual fact he is Ra? So what does this say? This says that there has been tampering with the Great Pyramid. Even if he had an ego problem or was mentally unbalanced, he would not put himself above himself. After all, when he died, he became Ra. So how could he be higher than himself?
Somebody's been playing games.
Mm-hmm. A certain British colonel has been playing games. Next question, please.
All right. How about the Mayan calendar?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been decoded, so to say, to predict certain dates that have happened or going to happen. Same thing?
Pretty much so. Things are open to interpretation. The Mayan calendar was translated without aid because most of the Mayan writings were destroyed. Very few writings are around from that period. Without a device such as a Rosetta Stone, it becomes extremely hard to decipher something. So it is all opinions, especially with hieroglyphics. This means that. That is a matter of opinion. Because of a hand in the Egyptian hieroglyphics held like this means one thing. How do you know that that means something without such a device as a Rosetta Stone? It is pure conjecture. And it is the same with the Mayan calendar. How do you know? Well, there is no Rosetta Stone. So it is what people assume, or what is more probable and more likely, what something means. It is like code breaking. You do not know exactly what is being said until you have something that can confirm what is being said. You can say with a certain amount of probability, but you cannot say accurately. And to say accurately that these predictions are so is inaccurate because there is no Rosetta Stone to aid in the translation.
Now, 5 years ago, and I might be mistaken here, but I believe it was Corricon who said that there was a Mayan pyramid that had been discovered, which had the codices within it that would allow the translation to be done.
Actually, it was 3.5 years ago.
Whatever happened to that?
They are being analyzed and looked at by scholars. And because they have not been released into general populace, and I think if you look carefully, you will see that the dates on the predictions to what has been supposedly translated from the Mayan calendar is prior to 94. So therefore, before the decoding, these were written, which means that there is a strong probability that these are inaccurate.
So we might get some updated predictions from the Mayan calendar at some point in the future?
Possibly. Okay. Next question. Please, don't all talk at once.
Now, besides the Mayans, we had the Olmecs prior to them.
That was right.
Now, we've always said that the Olmecs were the fathers of the Mayan civilization.
Yes.
Have we translated anything from the Olmec that you know of?
Not that I am aware that you have not translated. Not that I'm aware of.
Language theoretically then is completely different. It'd be tough to really say that there was much in the way of a connection then. Where did the Mayans get their language then?
No.
Okay. How would we work this out?
It is very, very simple. If you look at English now and go back 200 years, okay, it is different than from what it is now. If you go back 400 years to the Renaissance period, it is different than what it was 200 years ago and what it is now.
That's recognizable.
But hard to follow and understand. It is the same with the Olmecs and the Mayans. It is the same language, but spoken differently.
Well, would it be fair to say then that the Olmecs maybe perhaps had an outside influence from another race of people on the planet who might have then evolved into the Mayans, which would be under kind of explain what's going on there?
That is a possibility. You see, evolution is something that goes on all the time. If you take our language and look at its historical progression, let us take the most widely spoken language on your planet, English. 1200 years ago, it was spoken very, very differently from what it is spoken now, the medium that we communicate in at this moment. If you go back a further 200 years, it is very, very different, but yet understandable to a certain extent. Originally, the English language was a Germanic tongue. If you listen to Germans communicate, you understand basically what they are saying. It is very difficult. Sometimes the words are very different, but basic keywords are the same. So there is a root link in the languages. Why would a small tribal language become so widely spoken? It is definitely not because it is the easiest language in the world to learn. It is certainly not that.
That it would spread so quickly. I mean, the Huns and the barbarian tribe basically took over much of the known world back then.
But if you look at the English language, you will find words that weren't originally in it, that in actual fact had influences from other countries. For example, okay, what does that mean? One definition?
Acquiesce.
Skip.
That you're feeling all right.
Three different explanations, two of them very similar. Where did the word okay come from? I believe it is from a Nigerian language. It was brought over with the slaves to your country. A small tribal area introduced a new word that is acceptable and used in everyday conversation. It is easier than saying, I am doing well. How are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. Can I do something? Or would you like to join us as we do something? Instead of saying, I would be delighted to. Okay.
So if we look 1,000 years ahead,
mm-hmm.
and we can then say that our language might not be, it'll be recognizable as a root for that language, but it probably would be quite different from what it's spoken then.
Correct. Your language is constantly evolving. A language that is stagnant relates to a stagnant society. If you take a language and the language does not change for hundreds of years,
like Latin,
correct. Who speaks Latin?
Doctors.
Very few doctors speak Latin.
The churches, they have to learn it. Churches used to.
Used to?
Yeah, they've evolved into the spoken language of the population.
Mm-hmm.
What
do
doctors have to learn Latin?
Many of the herbs, things that use have Latin words.
Mm-hmm. They do not have to learn Latin. They just learn what particular words mean. Metacarpals, parcels, digitals.
And yet we've absorbed a lot of Latin words into our language.
Correct. But the language itself is dead. It is stagnant. A language that was once spoken by a lot of people is dying. What happened to the group of individuals that started that language? Correct. So a language that becomes stagnant means a society is stagnant. As long as the society is evolving, it evolves. For example, a word that is evolved, that was a kind of an insult, is even more of an insult and a disgusting insult in most circles. A word that was used at a famous battle in your planet's history. The word pluck you. Pluck as in pulling. You as in a tree. Pluck you. Was used as an insult to say that we have the you that can beat you. Meaning the English longbowman had the bow made of English yew that could beat the French and did. So the term pluck you became an insult. And it later evolved into a word beginning with F. So a word that was used as a direct insult has now become a word that is not used in acceptable society. That is evolution.
Okay, quite one more question for you. I've got the evolution of our language from that point has evolved into a blending of English spoken through most of the populous world as we know it. Is that then symbolic then that the people of the world are now working closely together as one?
Well, they have to. Everybody has to work closer together. After all, your planet is not as big as it once was in a communicative scale. There are now many, many places that are just a click of a button away. You can talk to any part of your planet instantly. That is correct. It is quite true. And being able to communicate over such a vast medium at such high speed means that there has to be a common language. After all, if one area spoke one language and another area spoke another language, then you would need specialized individuals and specialized programs to act as a translator from one to the other, which is a lot of work. But learning a language at an early age so that it becomes a second language is relatively easy. Shane, in your schools, do they teach Spanish?
Not until you get like the upper grades.
But if you wanted, you could learn Spanish.
A choice.
Correct. It's very useful to be able.